Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about encouraging one another. Just recently, I was on a trip, got to go see my parents for the first time in a while, and been a couple of years since we've seen them because of COVID and all of situation in the world over the last couple of years. It was great to see them and to catch up with them, but I was reminded of something. They are both of my parents are great encouragers. Just they have a way of just encouraging all the people that they're around, just speaking life, just encouraging them, bringing out the best in them. They just have a way of doing that. And I was just reminded of this. I could get better at this. I was reminded of it in Hebrews chapter 3. It tells us to encourage one another as long as it's called today. Think about this. When we encourage somebody, we're giving them courage. To walk out God's plan for our life, it's going to take faith. It's going to take some confidence in Him. It's going to take some courage to walk out His plan for our life. When we encourage other people, we're giving them courage. And something I've learned about courage only lasts a day at the very most. So every day, we got to keep re-encouraging ourselves, re-encouraging other people. So we're going to be asking for God's help today. That from this point on in our lives, we would grow in this. We would become great encouragers of others. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God. Unfortunately, I was walking in darkness and didn't even know it. At the time, my life wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. I was stressed out, had just the weight and pressure of life on me. I remember getting to the place where just going for a walk with my wife around the neighborhood, just telling her over and over, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be a better way to live. At the time, I was running my personal training gym business, and my business was just very up and down. Have some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars a month. And it wasn't for a lack of seeking. I started traveling all over the country, studying with the best health and fitness experts in the world. Trying to learn how our bodies work, trying to get my business to turn around, to get better and to grow. I'm reading books, I'm taking courses, I'm studying with mentors, I'm doing everything that I know to do. But nothing was seeming to turn around. Then one day I came across a challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. You keep going like that to the end of the month. And then you start back over again. So I started reading these Proverbs, and immediately I saw my way of doing things and God's way of doing things were definitely not in alignment with each other. I had to renew my mind about some things. And then one day I came across this verse, Proverbs 13:22. Just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I want to create manuals, lessons, teaching systems for all the different areas of life. Areas like purpose and health and family, finances, order, time, and community. But really, when I got started, I had no clue. No clue where to start. So I began to seek after God. I began to press into Him. My relationship with Him just began to grow exponentially. He began to show up. He began to teach me, began to train me. And I just simply began to document what He was taking me through. Now, it wasn't always easy all the time. I had to put off a lot of my old ways. I had to break free of some old patterns, some ways of doing things. Got put in some impossible looking situations at times. But I saw God coming through over and over and over again. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. But out of everything that we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, I believe the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to just turn things around, turn situations that are going the wrong direction, just to turn them around and to change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir His sacrifice into our mind and remembrance, making it active and relevant today. It helps us to abide in Him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits and promises that are found in the new covenant. And personally speaking, I found as a way that we can take these promises that God has made. We can activate them in our lives. To say that was the moment in time where I took communion over that promise, where I believed, I received it, and I'm believing that God's going to help me walk in that promise from this point on in my life. And it's very powerful when we combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus. We pull that into our mind and remembrance and our soul. And then we combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and the juice. Physical things often serve as triggers to trigger certain memories in our life. And communion has the power to do that. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and honor and reverence for the sacrifice of Jesus. And just, I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, stuck in darkness, walking in darkness, separated from him forever. But he chose the way of love. He loved us so much, he's willing to send his one and only son. Jesus is willing to come. He's willing to humble himself, even unto death on a cross for us. He's rejected by his own people. He's hit and whipped and spit on, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto his body. But then he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in his sight. We can have this personal relationship with him. We can have a covenant relationship with God. I think it's important we remember both sides of that. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe the principles of physical exercise are meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today. And help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? How are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the Master. We have to have an eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with Him has got to be brought down into today to encourage one another as long as it's called today. And masters of anything are truly just masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into them today. But first, I think it's important to remember, God has a process. When God took the people from Egypt to the promised land, He just didn't take them straight there. There was a process that they had to go through because we inherit the promises through faith and patience. God first brings them out of slavery and bondage, darkness in Egypt. They go through the Red Sea, which the Bible says is like their baptism. They cross over into the wilderness and God sends the spies into the promised land. They get a glimpse of where God's trying to take them to, but most people don't respond the right way. They see a land that looks impossible to take, and they respond with unbelief and doubt. And they're not willing to move forward into what God has for them in their lives. To keep moving forward into these promises God has for us, He just simply needs us to believe, to have that simple childlike faith. He wants to prove to us that we can trust Him in these things. And then they had to cross over the Jordan River, which was different. They had to take the first step of faith. The waters were flowing at flood stage, and when the priests stepped into the water, then the waters parted. They had to be willing to take the first step, even though it didn't look like there was a way to go. Then when they cross over into the promised land, the first step is they get circumcised. There's a letting go of our old ways, a cutting away of our old. We got to immerse ourselves in a new way of doing things. And it's during that time where we begin to let go of our old ways, we learn to allow God to be the source, to allow Him to beautify our lives, for Him to go to work. We have to learn how to rest and Him to go to work, because we can't take this promised land. We can't step into these promises that God has for us in our own strength. They're a gift of His grace. They come in His perfect timing. He brings these beautiful solutions from above. I believe that's God's process that He takes us through. That's where we've got to talk about executing these four fundamentals. Our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. God has released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light. But we've got to keep taking our position every day. This is like the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. How are we going to do it? We're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven? You got to humble yourself like this little child. Just simple childlike faith and humility, just to simply believe God. Humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We're going to walk in forgiveness with ourselves. We often forget to do that. And we're going to walk in forgiveness and grace with other people, giving them the same grace and forgiveness that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today, because faith works through love, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith, and it's one of the easiest ways to maintain our positioning all day long, is to simply stay positioned in gratitude and praise. And being in position is a big deal, because it puts us in position to receive all that God has for us. Imagine a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback throws a pass, but the receiver runs the wrong direction. He's out of position to receive. When we take our position in the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has and he put it all in him. And we get this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. So this day today, God's spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom are all available to flow through us today. He's got health and energy for today to flow through us. He's got more than enough time. He supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. We become part of his family. There's fellowship with God, fellowship with people. We've got purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. It's all in there and available. We have to learn how to receive it and to get it flowing through us in our life. We have to work out into the world where we see the result and fruit of it in our life. So our first step is to get in position. Our second step is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. Think about it. We're going to turn up the brightness of this light on the inside of us. And it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our heart. When we understand God's grace, we become more fixed and consistent in this covenant. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. What are those things that I'm just constantly rolling over and over and over in my mind? That I'm consistently speaking about over and over? You probably had some example. We had some problem or issue. And the more you thought about it, the more you talked about it, it seemed like the problem grew bigger in your mind, on the inside of you. Well, that same principle works in the other direction with the things of God. So how are we going to do it? We're going to magnify the light by magnifying God's word, his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We're going to magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We're going to magnify every good thing that he put within us and just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done in our lives. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify them. Instead, we're going to take those problems. We're going to give them to God. We're going to cast our cares over to him. And we're going to magnify him as bigger than those problems. Because something I've learned in my own life, he can solve those problems a whole lot better than we can. So let's magnify him instead of those problems. But he does give us the choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, venting, complaining, pouting, toiling away in our mind, trying to figure it all out, trying to solve all those problems ourselves without God, rather than resting and trusting in him. And that's where we're going to learn to recognize the symptoms. Because when we're out of position or magnifying the wrong things, it's going to produce some symptoms in our life. We might have the tendency to retaliate at people or snap at them. We might withhold good things that we know to do because they did something we didn't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. We might isolate ourselves. On the inside, there's this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you. You might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck. And it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. The dread of the future. We're envisioning worst case scenarios out in the future, toiling away in our mind. And we get stuck in these vicious cycles that seem to just keep repeating over and over again. But we take our position in the light. There's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless and energizing. Because we've got his peace and his joy and his mind and wisdom, his health and energy begin to flow. We've got more than enough time. His grace and power, it all just begins to flow. He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives, bring these beautiful solutions from above into our life. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around again. to get right back into the light again. Because every day life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. And it's learning to recognize those symptoms quickly and turn it back around. How do we do it? I think we start with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves in the middle. If we need to say we're sorry or forgive others, we take those steps. And then we just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me to tap into it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level. You pray that simple prayer, you'd be amazed at the shift that happens. The weight will just lift off of you. Feel that peace and joy and love just wash over you on the inside again. And then our third fundamental. Got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and navigate us through the day. But we've got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've talked about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just short phrases, maybe a sentence, maybe just one word that we keep rewriting every night at the top of our journal as a way to just reinforce God's standards for our life. Helps us to navigate throughout the day. It might look something like this. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And that short phrase just helps to navigate. So when we're tempted to stress, we're tempted to worry, we're tempted to retaliate at other people, got that little reminder to help me navigate through those situations of the day. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question. God, what are you trying to show me today? Just get still and listen and reflect back over the day. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day. Every day, God's trying to navigate us throughout the day, but we got to stay tuned into him. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. It doesn't take long. Just get still, take a couple deep breaths, get aware of his presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. We're going to get reconnected. We're going to get recharged or rejuvenated, refreshed in him. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out. I'm trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. And I'm getting out ahead of him, and the grace is not there. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I was getting behind him. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Not the things I'm unsure of, not the things I'm uncertain of. What do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And we remember this very important principle, that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this, began to seek God, what's the best thing for us to say first thing in the morning? And I felt like he was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible. What are the very first words we see God speak? Is let there be light. So I've begun to start my day this way. Very first thing in the morning when I wake up, first thing out of my mouth, let there be light. And it's amazing how just such a simple little thing makes such a difference, brings just a different energy into the day. And then we're going to wake up, we're going to get connected to God, we're going to start walking out that plan together with him today, in partnership with him today, full confidence in him, that he's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, his grace just begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at the scripture today. Encouraging one another. Like I said, I was reminded of this. I'm just very thankful that I've got parents who have been great encouragers all along the way. And I had forgotten, I hadn't seen them in a little while, just forgotten how good they are at this. I'm just grateful for that. And I believe it's a great gift that we can give to other people, just to be great encouragers of the people around us. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. It says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a wicked heart of unbelief that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Now notice, when we encourage one another, we're giving other people courage. How often do we need to do it? We need to do it every single day, as long as it's called today. And it's good for other people, but what does it also do for us? So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Encouraging one another keeps our hearts tender, keeps our hearts soft, keeps our hearts responsive to God, I believe. Encouraging one another. So we're going to take communion over this today, just asking for God's help. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that you encourage us. And for the people around us that are great encouragers as well, and we're asking for your help today. That you would help us to grow in this. The skill of encouraging one another as long as it's called today. Help us to be great at this. I've just seen the difference that it can make. And we want to be great at this, I believe. We just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's just take a moment to remember. Just thinking back, life separated from God. God chooses the way of love. He sends his one and only Son. Jesus is willing to humble himself even unto death on a cross. He's willing to be spit on and hit and mocked and ridiculed and betrayed and rejected, whipped, nailed to a cross, separated from God for us. He was destroyed by God. It says it pleased God to crush him. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in his sight through his one sacrifice. We've got God on our side now. So, Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after dinner at the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." His blood forgives our sins, cleanses us, releases us from darkness, transfers us into the light. We could have this covenant relationship with God, where God has made a covenant commitment. I'm only going to do good for you all the time. I'm going to be with you and I'm going to be for you. I'm going to help you. I believe as we experience God helping us encourage one another, it's just going to help us to know him that much more. His love and his goodness and his grace that much more. So Father, we thank you for this cup. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about some health and fitness stuff. Through my years of working in the gym, one of the biggest things I've seen, talking about staying encouraged. People get discouraged many times in their health and fitness. They're not seeing the results as fast as they would like it. It's not happening instantly. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. You got to stay encouraged. You got to fight off those tendencies to get discouraged. When you don't have a good workout, when the weight on the scale doesn't go the right way initially, you have a bad week, you have a bad meal, you have a setback of some sort. You got to find ways to stay encouraged. We got to learn the skill also, I believe, of encouraging ourselves in the Lord, finding that encouragement that's in Him to stay on track. Because I've seen it. A lot of times people get discouraged, and then next thing you know, they get off track. You got to keep encouraging yourself in the Lord. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.